Hi, and welcome to the magazine Rack on Chris. I'm June Holliday. Today I'll be reading from the June 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. Let's begin with a story of national interest entitled HOA Horror Stories: The Good, the Bad, and the Utterly Bizarre by Bill Hangley Jr. Justine Wickinson thought his investment was secure. His house in Palm Beach County, Florida was almost paid off. His family was happy. He liked his neighbors. His homeowners association, HOA, a privately managed housing development, worked well. The fees were manageable and he didn't mind its voluminous rules. In short, he felt at home. Then one day, he looked in the mailbox and found out that his HOA was about to sell his house over a debt of $1,335. "We have a home that's worth almost $1 million. We've never paid our mortgage one day late," Wickinson says. "I never imagined that they would do that to someone who was willing to pay." Wickinson had missed a quarterly dues payment in 2021 and forgotten all about it. Apparently, so had the HOA. Wickinson says he had paid in full for 2022 and 2023. And no one mentioned the unpaid debt. But late in 2023, someone found it, and rather than bring the oversight to his attention, the HOA took legal action. The next thing he knew, he was on the hook for a hefty amount. Between penalties and the HOA's legal fees, the bill had grown to about $5,000. "The community, we love it. Our kids love it. I would never say anything bad about the community," he says. "But in this instance, it really did not feel like a community, like you were only as good as your dollar." Wickinson was finding out what a lot of Americans have learned the hard way. There's more to those HOA horror stories than nitpicky neighbors. Your grass is too long, your paint's the wrong color. The fines and penalties that are part of HOA life can add up fast into big debts. Minor disputes, financial or medical setbacks that lead to missed payments, or just an honest screw-up, as in Wickinson's case, can turn quickly into costly court cases. And in the worst scenario, this could cost you your home and all its equity. Most homeowners would be surprised that the HOA can foreclose, but it's in the contract, says Ron Chung, a professor at Ohio's Oberlin College who specializes in HOA policies. They can do it over $50. "People say their home is their nest egg," says Stan Rinkovich, an HOA homeowner whose Colorado HOA forum advocates for improved governance. "I say, you have no idea how vulnerable you are." The good side of the HOA experience is that these communities offer stability, neighborly connections, and lasting value. The bad side is that maintaining that value means enforcing all sorts of rules that can drive homeowners nuts. And the really ugly side is that if you're not careful and you rack up just a few thousand dollars in debt, your HOA might sell your house to get it. That's where Wickinson stood. Out of nowhere, it was pay up or lose the house. Non-negotiable, the clock was ticking. Wickinson paid. He knew he had little choice, and he was glad he had the cash on hand. "I would have lost the home," Wickinson says. "My wife, my family, we would have had nowhere to go." America's favorite way to grow. Until the 1960s, HOAs were rare, but today the Foundation for Community Association Research, an industry group, estimates that America has 365,000 community associations covering about 35% of all homeowners. "This is how America is growing in the fastest growing parts of the country," says Chung. "In places like Texas, Arizona, and Colorado, it's the predominant form of development. For builders and buyers alike, a big part of the appeal is the bottom line. They are a really cost-effective way to build big developments," Chung says. Instead of a swimming pool in every backyard, you have one for the whole community. The result? HOA homes are seen as reliable investments. Studies show they go for an average of 4% more than non-HOA homes. And surveys show that most HOA homeowners are happy with their situation. Even many HOA critics support the basic model. I would not live in a community that was not an HOA, says Rinkovich. I don't want to see washing machines in my neighbor's front yard or hear dogs barking all night. HOAs put an end to that. HOAs come in many shapes and sizes. They can be condo towers, small clusters of townhomes, or sprawling subdivisions of large houses. But the basic model is always the same. A private company develops a group of homes, and homeowners sign a contract or covenant that limits what they can do with those homes. The idea is maintaining property values, says Chung. You have some insurance against your neighbors. A board of elected residents, usually supported by professional managers and legal teams, enforces the terms of the contracts. Homeowners fund those services with monthly or quarterly dues that average about $3,500 a year, according to online lender LendingTree. The covenants can be hundreds of pages long and include specific rules for, quite literally, anything under the sun, including lawns, roofs, trash cans, wind chimes, solar panels, flags, shrubs, yard signs, and parked cars. And that's often where the troubles begin. HOA horror stories almost always start with a board that does more than it should, says Chung. If the fines pile up, it can get really bad, really fast. Rules, 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 and lawsuits. It's not news that a homeowners association can make your life miserable. An episode of The X-Files once featured an HOA that sacrificed hapless rule breakers to a bloodthirsty Tibetan spirit beast. And every news cycle brings fresh reports of seemingly absurd HOA battles, such as these. In Tennessee, a woman got fined $100 for an offensive image when, after she moved her parked car, it left a phallic-shaped outline in the snow. In Missouri, parents faced jail time over a plastic backyard playset that was an unapproved color, purple. In North Carolina, Sherry Loeffler was fined $12,000 because her windows don't match her neighbor's windows. She has four, they have eight. In Georgia, Roberto Cardenas has paid over $1,700 in parking fines because strangers keep parking in front of his house. Everybody's parking a car around my property. That ticket's on my name, he told local reporters. It's not right. Making it even more exasperating, Cardenas doesn't even own a car. Residents subject to unwanted fines and fees often blame overeager HOA board members. And that board is often tipped off by neighbors. Disputes can get bitter, with homeowners convinced that they're victims of selective enforcement for personal, racial, political, or religious reasons. In Ohio, neighbors banded together to support Thomas DiSario after he claimed he was unfairly targeted for his thin blue line flag. In Florida, Rabbi Naftali Herzl has accused his HOA of denying him the right to build a synagogue while allowing Christian churches. And any issue that can't be settled between the homeowner and the HOA board will eventually end up in court, which can be a lose-lose proposition. In Maryland, a conflict over a fence that crossed 8 inches into a conservation zone ballooned into a 5-year battle that left homeowner Betty Hooker saddled with $40,000 in legal costs. For Holly Crystal of Idaho Springs, Colorado, the trouble literally started in what she thought was her own backyard. Soon after moving in, she learned that her HOA believes that a clause in her homeowner's contract gives it control of that yard, allowing it to prevent her from adding shrubs or a hot tub. She argues the clause is invalid. It was added to her contract alone, she says. No other home in the HOA has one. And she says the HOA has never explained why her yard was singled out for special treatment. As the fines piled up, she challenged her HOA in court and lost. The judge ruled against Crystal, ordering her to pay $93,000 in HOA legal fees or lose the house. This was no idle threat. An investigation by the Colorado Sun found that between 2018 and 2023, state HOAs foreclosed on more than 3,000 homes and sold 250 of them at auction. Crystal says she's drained her retirement account to fight for her house. If she walks away, she'll take a big loss. It's highly unlikely that I could sell my house, she says. Who would want a townhome with a private yard that's not private? Most residents of HOAs stay out of trouble. According to LendingTree, only 15% of HOA residents report being fined. But when conflicts arise, those clashes often pit homeowners of limited means against corporate entities with deep pockets. Even a victory can do more harm than good. In Arizona, the only way to enforce the law is to sue the corporation, which means you're suing yourself, says Dennis Laguerre, the head of the Arizona Homeowners Coalition. If you win, the costs get passed on to the homeowners, and the homeowners end up paying the legal fees. The only people who win are the lawyers. A lost nest egg. And when homeowners lose, they can lose big. In Texas, Finda Coroma is living with friends after losing the home she raised a family in. Her health isn't great. Work is a struggle. She has no idea what's next. I'm panicking, she says. The home care nurse's saga started with some missed HOA payments during the COVID-19 lockdowns when she lost clients and income. She owed her HOA about $3,500 in unpaid fees. Last year, she says, she thought she was catching up by adding extra to her payments. She was also in the process of renovating the house and preparing to sell it for her retirement. But it turned out that the HOA had foreclosed on her home in 2021 and sold it in January 2023. The HOA says it notified Coroma. She says it didn't. She was evicted in July 2023. In court, Coroma's lawyer advised her to drop the case because the law was on the HOA's side. She said, "The best you can do is just move out," Coroma says. Coroma's home was bought by an investor for just $82,000. The HOA will take some of that to pay Coroma's debts and return the rest, about $74,000, to Coroma. But that's just a fraction of the house's estimated value of $350,000. Losing the equity and her place in a community was bad enough, Coroma says, but losing her dignity was worse. My grandchildren keep asking, when are you going to get your house back? Coroma says through tears, I'm 68 years old. It's not fair. How can you allow a family to be homeless just for this? I'm so confused. Sometimes residents' financial problems start when their HOA board's fiscal planning falls short and unexpected costs spring up for, say, insurance or maintenance. In Loveland, Colorado, Virginia Volini Arzuyan's HOA got into a tangle over water access for a neighboring development. To cover its legal costs, the HOA added an extra $16,000 to each home's fee, $1,000 a month for 16 months, which is twice the usual monthly fee of $500, says Volini Arzuyan. At one point, she and her husband held back their monthly payments, demanding to see a detailed accounting to justify the increase. The HOA responded by levying more fines and announcing it would foreclose. HOA reps defend their powers by noting that without the threat of penalties and foreclosure, they'd have no way to stop homeowners from dodging their fees or the rules, which hurts all the residents. And some homeowners are relentless in that quest. In Florida, for example, a state court recently ended a six-year battle to foreclose on a homeowner who had initially owed about $4,000. According to court records, Lilia Belkova Russo declared bankruptcy three times and also claimed injuries from two car accidents, chronic mercury poisoning, a fall from a horse, and microwave radiation from internet routers and cell phones. The court decided that Russo was just trying to delay the inevitable and ruled that she now owes her HOA $87,000, including penalties and court costs. The HOA board isn't always the villain, says Laguerre. A lot of homeowners know how to play the game. The threat of taking the home gets payments. Watching the watchers. As HOAs grow, so too does public demand for consumer protection. Advocates and some lawmakers are pressing for better HOA policies in a number of states. In California, a newly passed law caps annual HOA fee increases. A similar bill is being considered in Florida, where rising insurance is rapidly driving up HOA fees. In Colorado, Stan Rankovich's group is working on proposals to mediate disputes and protect homeowners from foreclosure. But even when reforms pass, he says, enforcement remains problematic. If the HOA violates the agreement, who's there to enforce it? Rankovich says. You go to court and you're up against a company and their lawyers. They've been through this before. You don't have a chance unless you have deep pockets. So for now, advocates say the best way for HOA homeowners to stay out of the horror story files is to stay up to date on payments, stay engaged with the board, and stay out of court if at all possible, even if it means sacrificing your favorite wind chimes. A guy came to my door and said, "You're a nuisance. Those wind chimes keep me up when I'm sleeping." "So I took them down," says Rankovich. "If I say no, the lawyers get involved, and then it costs thousands of dollars." Let's continue now with a story of inspiration entitled Doing Dad's Bucket List. Laura Carney's father died suddenly with unfinished business, so she started checking off the items for him. By Sidney Page from the Washington Post. The tattered paper was stashed away in a brown suede pouch, along with her father's driver's license, a ring, and various trinkets. It was her late father's bucket list, scribbled on three pages torn from a spiral notebook. Laura Carney looked down at it, and she glanced up at her husband. Without a word spoken, they both knew. "I needed to finish it," says Carney, 46. She had been wanting to find a way to understand her dad a little better, says Carney's husband, Stephen Saman. As soon as we saw the list, it was immediately like, this is it. Her brother David was the first to spot it. He uncovered the treasure in 2016, 13 years after their father, Michael Mick Carney, was tragically killed when he was 54 by a distracted driver. The list, Carney says, was written in 1978, the year she was born. It had 60 tasks, five of which had already been checked off, including do a comedy monologue in a nightclub and see a World Series game live. One was marked failed, pay back my dad $1,000 plus interest. That left 54 items for Carney to complete. The tasks ranged from relatively simple undertakings, like swim the width of a river and grow a watermelon, to more complicated endeavors like correspond with the Pope and be invited to a political convention. Several tasks were seemingly impossible, mainly talk with the president. Still, Carney was undeterred. She was 25, an aspiring writer living in New York City when her father was hit by a driver who ran a red light while chatting on a cell phone in Limerick, Pennsylvania. In the immediate aftermath of her father's death, "I didn't talk about it," says Carney, who is now based in Montclair, New Jersey. "I really had some shame about it because it felt like such an undignified way to die." A few years later, though, she became an activist for safe driving, writing articles about the subject, fundraising, and giving talks and interviews. She met a group of people who were trying to do something to solve what had become a much more common way to die, Carney says. But the trauma of her father's death lingered. For Carney, the bucket list was an unexpected opportunity to work through her pain and reconnect with her dad. "I found a way to keep his spirit alive in my life," she says. "It was a thing I needed to do so I could get back in touch with my real self." When she first got the list, she crafted a tentative timeline. She put off the pricier items, including going to the Super Bowl and visiting Europe, as well as the item that scared her the most, drive a Corvette. "The first couple ones that I did happened organically," Carney says. She had already signed up for a marathon, which allowed her to check run 10 miles straight off the list. Another item she completed early on was talk with the president. She learned that former President Jimmy Carter would have been president when Carney's father wrote the list, taught Sunday school in Georgia. She and her husband flew there to meet him. For some items, Carney used poetic license, she says. For instance, one task was sing at my daughter's wedding. "The way we honored him at my wedding was we drank a Cabernet that he had purchased in 1978, says Carney, adding that he had left a note on the bottle which said, open on Laura's wedding day. It had been sitting there waiting," Carney says. "I was thinking, well, our bellies are singing." While Carney completed many of the bucket list tasks on her own, including a 2-week trip to Europe, "it didn't really feel like I was doing things alone because I knew my dad was with me," she says. "I feel like my relationship with him is very present." Carney's brother and mother accompanied her for some activities, and her husband joined her for others. After about the first year or two of doing this project, he would say to me that the person he had always seen in me was coming out, Carney said. "I had all these layers of grief and trauma and fear that I was leaving behind." On December 27th, 2022, Carney checked off the last task on her dad's list: have 5 songs recorded. She picked a few of her father's favorites, including The Rainbow Connection from The Muppet Movie and The Beatles' Good Night. She recorded them in a studio and did the final touches at home. "My fondest memories of him are him singing to us before we went to bed at night," Carney says. "It felt like I was singing with him again." Completing the bucket list enabled Carney to get to know her dad in a way she hadn't had a chance to and never thought she would. "These were his goals and his dreams," she said. "It helped me understand him better, to see him as a full human being instead of just my embarrassing dad. And doing that helped me to understand myself." Like his daughter, Mick Carney was a writer. He spent his days working as a salesman and his spare time singing, writing, and performing. "My dad was such a dreamer," Carney says. "He knew what it meant to be alive. He knew how to have fun." Finishing her father's bucket list was the most fulfilling experience of her life, she says. So she decided to write her own bucket list. "I really encourage everybody to write down what they want to do," she says. "It helps you start living more intentionally. And when you're living intentionally, you feel more of a sense of purpose in your life." Carney says she isn't afraid of leaving some of the items on her own list unchecked. "Even if this doesn't happen in my lifetime," she says, Maybe somebody will do it for me. I like that idea. Let's finish up today with an article on food facts and fun. Cue the barbecue. A bowl of bulgogi is a treat for your taste buds. By Emily Tyra. Tantalizingly tangy and sweet, Korean barbecue is hot off the grill and a hot ticket item at food courts and food trucks alike. The beguilingly tender slivers of beef are typically topped with a sprinkling of scallions and served with rice. You can find it at grill-top tables at K-Town restaurants in cities big and small across the country, and also in some less traditional preparations, such as folded into quesadillas, tucked into tacos, or loaded onto cheese fries. Even beginners can make it at home with jarred marinades, such as the We Love You brand of bulgogi sauces, or one of the pre-marinated meal kits. Bulgogi is among the latest foodie favorites, but this elemental combo of meat and flame, its name literally translates to fire meat, got its start way back during Korea's Goguryeo era, that's from 37 BC to AD 668. Though it hasn't always looked the same. Bulgogi began as a kebab-like skewered meat, then morphed into a brothy dish of marinated beef, before ultimately transforming into the char-broiled variety that is popular today. Boosting the bulgogi craze are culinary ambassadors like Emily Kim, better known by her blogger name, Mong Chi, or, as the New York Times dubbed her, YouTube's Korean Julia Child. In one of her videos, Kim arrives at a backyard barbecue in upstate New York with a big batch of marinated Korean beef bulgogi to toss on the grill. After a quick sear, she tucks slices of succulent beef inside cool lettuce leaves along with a dab of samjang, a spicy crimson-hued dipping sauce. In the Smithsonian Institution's publication, Folk Life, digital archivist Crystal Ree shares how bulgogi is as ubiquitous in South Korea as burgers are here in the U.S. It's common in school lunches, meals at home, and any mom-and-pop restaurant, she writes. But even in Washington, D.C., where she lives, Ree is no longer surprised to find food trucks serving bulgogi tacos or vendors selling bulgogi hoagies at nationals games, she says. One of Ree's favorite ways of eating bulgogi when she was growing up was her mother's toasted sandwich bread with a smear of mayonnaise stacked with bulgogi and red leaf lettuce. Ree's own recipe starts with ribeye or sirloin. Well-marbled cuts of beef are the most traditional choice, sliced so thin I can see through it. Next comes the mouth-watering marinade, a combination of garlic, soy sauce, honey, sesame oil, and Asian pear. The juice of the pear contains an enzyme called calpain, which tenderizes the meat while adding a distinctive sweetness. Kiwi has a similar enzyme and can be used in its place. You could even substitute another pear variety in a pinch. But you don't need to source the ingredients yourself. If you want a shortcut, Trader Joe's has ready-made bulgogi in its freezer section, and HelloFresh, the largest mail-order meal kit provider in the U.S., offers dozens of bulgogi recipes, including meatballs, bowls, and tacos. For those craving this Korean delicacy, it's the best barbecue on the block. Well, that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the June 2024 issue of Reader's Digest. I'm June Holiday. So long until next time.